Ladies Fellowship, Public Ministry, Nursing Home. Taco Night, that's right. Youth Night is May 30th. It's Taco Night. That's the last Sunday of May. So, the kids are already, they're already talking about it this afternoon. Like, Megan's like, oh man, yeah, Megan's already said, oh, I'm going to make barbacoa. It's going to be so good. Oh, man. All right. Well, just briefly, we had some folks come in who are missionaries. They're headed to Nicaragua, Cliff and Mary Middlebrook, and they just kind of came in surprised. I've never met them before. And anyhow, they're parked over at Lester Roloff's place, and they've just been sort of in the area going to several churches and stuff like that. So anyhow, greet them. They're right here, Cliff and Mary. And if you want to say something, you want to stand up, Cliff, and introduce yourself and your wife? Go ahead and just stand up right there and introduce yourself to the folks. Like everybody else, waiting on the country to open. And he's telling me some interesting stories about some of the politics down there and what's happening, what's not happening there. So anyhow, Genesis is where we're at this evening. Genesis chapter 19. And try to get out of this chapter as fast as possible. It's terrible. It's so terrible. This chapter is so terrible. There's a phrase in here that shows up, or an incident that shows up. We'll just look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. And the phrase that shows up in the New Testament is, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And verse 26 of Genesis 19, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So that's the verse that the New Testament, and I think it's Luke, says, remember Lot's wife. But let's pray. We're gonna cover the whole chapter just so we can get to this point. But the lesson in this, and I want you to be thinking about this as we go through this, is counting it all loss. Counting it all loss. One of the things that Lot's wife was unable to do was to count her old life loss. And That's really what it boils down to. And when you read about it in the New Testament, this incident with Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboam, it's a type of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and it's a terrible thing. Let's pray and try to get through this chapter as quick as we can and get to the point. But you got to get through the chapter to know the struggle Lot's wife had here and what became of her because of it. But let's pray and we'll talk about this stuff. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening. Thank you for getting our guests here safely, and pray that you'd give them good meetings while they're around here. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening, and for those that are watching, pray you'd bless them as well. And Father, that you'd help us get through this just a horrible time on the face of this earth in Genesis 19. But there's a lesson here. And the seriousness of counting things loss is repeated over and over in the New Testament. Paul said it. Jesus Christ said it. It's been repeated over and over. And pray you'd help us understand it and take it to heart and help us with things that were part of our old life. We need to disconnect from it, or at least count it loss. Eventually it will be loss. And I pray you'd help us with all these things this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a little recap. So we covered some of this last week. Genesis 19 is, it's a terrible chapter. And I don't like even talking about the stuff that goes on in this chapter or dealing with this, but it's critical and it's very important, because from here on, the Lord will refer to what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah and tell the nations and tell Israel, you need to remember what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You need to remember what happened over there. And he'll say it over and over and over and over. It may be in every single book of the Bible, I don't know, but it's over and over. He reminds all the way to the book of Revelation. Sodom is mentioned and referenced, and it's just a horrible example and a bitter example of God's judgment on people and what will become of this world when Jesus Christ returns. And so in Genesis 19, let's read and get to hasten so we can get to verse 26, but let's get the context, because you need to understand what's happening here. Genesis 19, verse 1, there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and he entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So his hospitality, like we mentioned last week, it's similar to what Abraham said to the two angels, when the angels, whenever they walked past his place and he saw them. And remember, these angels and the Lord himself, these men are on a mission. They're here to check out Sodom and Gomorrah and see if the wickedness is exactly what they've heard it to be, what the Lord's heard it to be. So that they're on a mission. Lot invites them in, wants to get them cleaned up and give them some food. And they say, okay, we'll do that. But about the time they go in, verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, come past the house round about, around both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. It's a Sodomite mob. It's horrible. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. What a horrible position. So it's Lot's trying to compromise with them in a terrible way. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. So this mob hears Lot say, don't do this wickedness. And they say, who are you to judge our life? Who are you to judge what we're doing? It's the epitome of pride what's the word? They're entitled to whatever they want, and you're not allowed to say no They can come in and take whatever they want from you, and you just need to shut up and sit down and get away and let them do what they're going to do. That's the mentality of the mob. So they start going after Lot. They start breaking down the door. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. So the angels bring Lot in and they protect his life. I mean, they get him from away from this mob, bring him in the house. I mean, it's horrible. This is a horrible thing. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. Wow, crazy, craziness. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? That's the angels talking to Lot. So after this episode, they bring in Lot from the outside. The angels bring him in. They smite the mob with blindness, and the mob is just clawing around and scratching around, trying to figure out how to get inside and do what they want to do. And the angels look at Lot, who's inside the house, and they say, you know anybody else in this town? You got anybody else you want to get out of this town? Because we're about to destroy this town. The men said unto Lot, verse 12, hast thou any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Just a crazy preacher, just this crazy nut preacher. What is this guy talking? What are you talking about, the judgment of God? What are you talking about? And when the morning arose, verse 15, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So just a note here, Lot has apparently two daughters that live in his house, but he's got more daughters that are apparently married in the city. So he's got some more family around the city. There just happens to be two daughters that live within his household. Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men, that's the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And so situation is, the angels take Lot, his wife, his two daughters, they get him out of the city. And they say, you need to go into the mountains. You need to get out of this place, because God is about to rain fire, or we are about to rain fire on this city, and there is not going to be a soul left living. You need to get as far away from this place as you can get away from it. So Lot wants to go to Zoar, and the angels say, okay, we're not going to destroy Zoar. You can go there. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So you have catastrophic judgment. Catastrophic judgment. And there's apparently in Lot's family some more family left in the city. Just the people in his household have been taken out of the city. That's it. And God has rained down this fire and brimstone. I mean, brimstone's just, it's like sulfur and I mean, he talks about salt and it's just this fiery sulfur that just comes out of the sky and destroys Sodom and Gomorrah and the plains and the whole area. But Lot's wife remembers some stuff back in Sodom. And she cannot stand the sight of what she had back there and the people she had back there. And so she, within the outside the bounds of the judgment of God, makes a choice to head back to the city. So she heads back to where the fire is raining down, and when it says she becomes a pillar of salt, I just imagine her, it's just like a building collapsing on somebody. Just become a pile of rubble is what you become. So she cannot let go of the people, probably her children. She can't let go of it. And so she heads back to the city and is destroyed with the city. And so the commentary on this, Luke 17, is this. Go over to Luke 17. When the Lord destroyed Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, when he destroyed these places, there's literally nothing left of them. I mean, there were no souls left. It was buried in sulfur and salt and fire. In Luke 17, verse 28, the Bible says this, because this event in Sodom and Gomorrah is likened to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Wow. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife? There's the phrase. Whosoever shall seek to save his life. That was Lot's wife. My life is back there in Sodom. I got stuff. I got people I need to get out of there. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be left to be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where is this destruction? I mean, we know where Sodom and Gomorrah were. Where are you talking about? Where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. One point tonight. One point in all of this. The typology is clear. It is a description of physical salvation. When the Lord talks about it in Matthew 24. But he says, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, starting in Jerusalem, He is going to destroy everything in his kingdom that offends, that is sinful. He is going to destroy every human being in that area, starting in Jerusalem. And if anyone is left in that area, that's what he means at the end of this, when he says, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. That just means if there is flesh laying around somewhere, if there is flesh in this city, it's dead flesh. If there is a human being body that is left in this area of judgment, it is a dead body. I mean, that just the way you and I might say it is, there are no survivors here. And that little note there about Lot's wife, he says, you're going to have to get out of there as fast as you can when you start seeing things like this. He says it in Matthew 24 when he talks to the Israelites, the disciples, and he says, when you see the abomination set up and all that stuff, he says, you're going to have to head for the hills because this place is about to be just destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that's the judgment. So here's this very simple point in all of this. It was remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, in spite of the fiery judgment, she could not let go of the family connection she had. She could not let go of the old life in Sodom. And so she tries to go back, and what she does is what Luke says. She tries to save her old life. She wants to save what's there, and you can't save what's there. God isn't going to let you save what's there. He's going to destroy everything that's there. So there's connections she had, I imagine, her family. You know she had other daughters at least, because they had son-in-laws. There were son-in-laws, there were daughters there, there might have been their children there. The point is, she could never, or she couldn't, in this case, she couldn't and she didn't count her old life as loss. When Lot was taken out, he left. I can't go back. I cannot rescue my old life. My old life in Sodom is done. My house is done. My car is done. My other children are done. Everything is destroyed, and I cannot save it. But Lot's wife said, no, I think I can save it. I think I can rescue him. She didn't count her old life as lost. She counted it valuable enough to head back towards it. Apparently had, like I said, other children. She had family there, which is probably the strongest connection she had to Sodom. She had those daughters that were married to those men, and the men that mocked Lot whenever he tried to get him out of there. Just, you know, what it's so reminiscent of some of the thoughts you deal with. I mean, today it's you talk about the judgment of God, and it's kind of like, I mean, why does God have to be so judgmental? That's sort of the answer that Lot got when he tried to tell his son-in-laws, you guys got to get out of here. Well, I mean, what are you talking about, the judgment of God? The Bible says they ate, they drank, they planted, they did their business. Nobody really was concerned with the judgment of God until the fire started falling. There's several times in the New Testament where this idea is put forth, and I think you got the theme of it pretty well here. When the Bible says, remember Lot's wife, what you're remembering is a lady who could not count her old life loss. She couldn't get separated from it. There was too much at stake in her mind, And so she had to go back and try to rescue that old life. Here's an example in the New Testament. Paul said this. He said when he got saved, he said in Philippians, he said, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." He made a complete 180. And he was a man that was, he said, I profited in the Jews' religion. I mean, he did well in it. It was as much a living for him as it was anything else. Now he was very zealous towards the law and probably the most zealous of anybody towards the law. He said when he got saved, when he trusted Jesus Christ, met Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus and met Jesus Christ, he said all that old life, loss. I walked away from it. I walked away from friends. I walked away from family. I walked away from a good income. I walked away from everything. And it's in Paul's case, just to another illustration of this thought. Some people get saved, and not to belittle anyone's salvation, but if you get saved and you are at the last of the last of your rope there. You're just, you know, this is just, I don't have anything else. This is the last straw, and you got saved. That's good. But one thing you aren't doing at that point is you aren't giving anything up. Paul, when he got saved, he gave up an entire life. If you got saved and you know you were just at your wit's end, so to speak, bottom of it's the last straw, I don't have any other hope, I'm just going to trust Christ. That's good that you trusted Christ, but I'll say you didn't give anything up trusting Christ because you didn't have anything to give up. Paul's case, when he trusted Jesus Christ, he gave up everything. He gave up his living, he gave up his friendships, he gave up his family. He gave up everything. And so, counting everything lost, Jesus Christ said it this way. He said, he said, if you're going to follow me, you deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. You know what that is? That's counting my old life loss. It's just loss. And the warning here is there is, I understand there's prophecy here and there's a future and a real event in the second coming of Jesus Christ here that's in view. And that if people literally don't count their lives loss, they will die in the mix of all this. But there is some spiritual principle here that if you and I aren't able to count things lost from our old life, there's going to be consequences to that. There's going to be things that you may, it's going to have an effect, if nothing else. I mean, that's just a light way of saying it. The sooner, put it this way, maybe it'd be an easy way to think about this. The sooner you and I can count the old life loss, the less you have to lose. The sooner you can say, I'm following Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean you're going to be mean to all the old friends or whatever like that. What I mean is, if you cannot let go of these things for Jesus Christ, if you choose to hold on to this old life and try to drag it with you with Jesus Christ, it doesn't work that way. It won't work. The sooner you count and I count or old life loss, the less you'll have to lose. Lot's wife, the phrase in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. The whole point of that, the whole reason that's said, is because she could not, and she didn't, count her old life loss. She said, there's valuable stuff there. I need to go back and save what I can save. And the reality is, you can't save it. It won't be saved. You're not going to be able to remove it from the judgment of God. When God says He's going to pour out His wrath and His judgment, you're not going to be able to rescue anything out of that. So, remember Lot's wife. You get to this point in Genesis 19, and it's just a whole terrible situation here. But it's all linked to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the spiritual principle in the whole thing is you and I, we have to learn to count the old life loss. Lot's wife had to learn that. She didn't learn it. Lot learned it the hard way. I mean, he looked back on his old life and he just, you could just see a pillar of smoke, and that was your old life. That was it. That was where Lot, you chose years ago to make your home. That was where years ago you chose to cast your lot, so to speak. That was where you chose to make a living and raise your family. And now you look back and it's just a smoke. Just smoke. One thought, one simple theme. Remember Lot's wife, and the theme is, and the point is, learn to count the old life loss. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I really do. Just a simple thought tonight on this terrible chapter. Pray you'd identify old connections in our lives that hinder our relationship with you. I pray that you would highlight those things for us and help us get disconnected from them. Help us lose the emotional connections we have to some things that we don't need to have connections to. Thank you for these verses. Thank you for these warnings. Thank you for these prophecies. And really, thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for our visitors here. Pray you give them safety as they travel back to Corpus. And thank you for each soul that's here this evening. Thank you for those that are watching. I pray it'd be a blessing to see these things and learn about them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.